Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. I'm going to present also on behalf of my colleagues. This has been done by Jinsi Lee, who is a grad student at Washington State University, Chen-Yan Yue, who is at the University of Minnesota, Vicky McCracken, Washington State University, James Luby, University of Minnesota, and Jim McPherson with the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission. The title of the presentation is Estimated Market Equilibrium Values of Fruit Traits for Peach and Sweet Cherry Using Choice Experiments with Consumers and Producers. So what's the background of this project? This project comes from a larger project named Ross Breed. Ross Breed comes from Ross, Rosacea, and Breed Breeding. This project seeks to enable the use of marker-assisted breeding in Rosacea. As you might know better than me, the Rosacea family contains more than hundreds of species, and we just focus on five of them for the socioeconomic portion of this study. We focus on apples, sweet cherries, star cherries, strawberries, and peaches. So what's the socioeconomic team doing in this project? What we want to achieve here is to get a value for fruit quality characteristics, we name them traits, fruit quality traits, from each member of the supply chain. So we want to elicit values from growers, from intermediaries, which are the packers, the shippers, the marketers, and from consumers. And give back all this information to breeders so they can go with this information and make their breeding efforts being consistent with what the industry in its totality would like to see, right? And so that was the goal of this project. However, sometimes the values and the ranking of preferences for fruit quality traits across groups is different. Producers may prefer certain attributes while consumers prefer a different set of attributes. So that's the point of this particular study. There will be no value in giving the breeder saying, okay, growers wants to pay this much for this set of attributes, while consumers want to pay these other different values, right? So we want to give breeders a solid value for what the entire supply chain would like to see, and also a ranking of preferences, so they are going to be able to work with them. That's the point of this study. So to estimate an equilibrium willingness to pay for each quality trait, and we focus in this study on peaches and sweet cherries, and reconcile information from producers and consumers, right? And we want to provide breeders precise and clear values. How did we do this study? Well, we did in different steps. First, in 2012, we conducted a mail-in and online surveys with growers. This was a representative sample of growers across the states. We choose states that will be the states that will be producing in major volumes these products. So for peach, obviously, it was California, was the Southeast, Georgia, South Carolina, some in New Jersey, and so on. For sweet cherry, it was mainly Washington, California, and some for tart cherry, Michigan, and so on. But this is sweet cherry, so it's mainly fresh market, so not too much Michigan. So we got, for the grower survey, we got 124 surveys completed, and for the sweet cherry, 215 surveys completed. Again, both of these are for the fresh market, so no products for the processing market, just the fresh market. And for the consumer, by the end of 2013, we launched this consumer survey with Qualtrics. So it's really nice to work with this company because we just give them kind of like a description of what will be the target population we want to survey and the number of completed responses we want to get. So we say, well, approximately 750 completed responses, representative from the whole United States in terms of geographic location, age, and so on. So we got 795 responses from peaches and 743 from sweet cherries for the consumer, and consumer was only online. This was not mail-in. So with this information, obviously this information was a survey, and the survey contained different questions about, you know, demographics. And one section of the survey was this conjoint analysis, this choice experiment. And in the choice experiment, we presented the respondents with different scenarios. These scenarios contain, these scenarios were mimicking a situation in which producers will be willing to grow a specific cultivar for peach or for sweet cherry. And this cultivar, in case of the peach, will have different combinations of attributes, right? So we have a different combination of color, appearance, size, firmness, sweetness, flavor, and obviously the cost. What will be the cost for them to produce this specific cultivar, right? And we, for choosing these attributes and the level of these attributes, we went into consultation with breeders, with industry representatives, and also we pre-tested this with some industry members. So we make sure that the wording and the levels that we use were consistent with what the industry was used to see, right? So we use words like 85% pack out, or size 50, or, you know, bricks, and for firmness, pounds 4. So they will have a really specific metric to which they will characterize each of the alternatives presented in each scenario. And for consumers, it was different, though, because, you know, if we tell a consumer choosing between this bricks level and this other bricks level, consumers will not have a clue what we're talking about. So what we said, what we decided to do here is kind of like get more visuals here. Instead of saying, you know, 50 or larger, or, you know, 30% defects per lot or stuff like that, we present them pictures, right? So we have different pictures, obviously, that were consonant with what we were using with the producers. So, and then for sizes, we describe it in terms of inch diameter, right? And firmness, we just say firm and soft, and sweetness, high and low, intense peach flavor and mild peach flavor. And the price was also consistent with the prices that we use in the grower survey. Obviously, we add a markup, a retail markup, so prices turn out to be really consistent with retail stores at the time we conducted the survey, and also USDA prices. So this is how, kind of like the experimental design, we use an orthogonal fractional factorial design, and these are the levels for the sweet cherry grower and for the sweet cherry consumer. Here, what's interesting for size, we were wondering, we were doing a lot of focus groups and wondering if people would recognize what would be, you know, a 1-inch diameter or less than some inches diameter. So we use a quarter, so the consumers will have an idea how big the cherry was. So yeah, we use this type of stuff so people will have a really a good assessment of what we're trying to describe in these scenarios. And after the fractional factorial design and the randomized design that we use, we end up with scenarios that look like this. So we told the peach grower or the sweet cherry grower or the consumer, if you will have two options, option A with these characteristics and option B with this other set of characteristics, which one you would like to buy. Obviously, each option associated with a different level of prices. And then option C, if they were not interested or they find that none of them will be attractive to them, they will have also the choice to say, no, I will not choose neither of them. So this was kind of like what we use for the peach grower, and for the peach consumer, this is how it looked when they responded to these scenarios online. And similar with the sweet cherry grower and with the sweet cherry consumer. So how did we analyze this data? to first we got the willingness to pay values from each group, right? So for growers, willingness to pay values, and for consumers, willingness to pay values. Because we conducted these all across the United States, different demographic characteristics, different tastes and preferences, we decided to use the mixed logic model, which is the most flexible econometric specification to analyze this type of data. And with the mixed logic model, we estimated parameters. In the mixed logic model, the regression stands like what's the probability that they will be choosing one of these options based on this set of attributes, right? So we estimated parameters for each set of attributes and estimated the willingness to pay, which is kind of like the quotient between the coefficient for a parameter and the coefficient for the cost. So we had the sets of willingness to pay. So now, how do we reconcile these from willingness to pay from producers and willingness to pay from consumers? So what we did here is to obtain demand and supply curves. We created a demand with the willingness to pay from consumers, from each individual. We estimated the willingness to pay from each individual and created a demand curve for consumers. And then with the willingness to pay from each grower responding to the survey, we created a supply curve. So at the end of the day, whenever these two curves, the demand and the supply, intersect, that was our market equilibrium willingness to pay, or the price that both groups would like to pay for each specific trait, for each specific characteristic. Obviously, in our demand and supply curves, we have the price in the vertical axis and the quantities demanded in the horizontal axis. For quantities demanded, we use the per capita consumption times the U.S. population, so that the total consumption of that fruit divided by a vector of the consumer's respondents. So it was, you know, going from one to the number of total responses we got from consumers. Similar for the growers, we got the total U.S. production divided by the number of the grower responding for each specific fruit. And this is kind of like how our supply and demand curves look. For example, for peach, for appearance, the equilibrium willingness to pay was 48 cents per pound, right? And this is an example for the sweet cherry. The willingness to pay for appearance was 40 cents per pound. So I'm going to show here what did we got across all these three groups. So consumers seem to obviously favor quality traits like flavor, sweetness, and not too much size, right? Whereas growers, for them, seems to be equally important, the flavor, the appearance, and also the size. And this is not surprising because growers get paid by the size and by the external appearance, because that's how the U.S. grades for standards are set, right? But when we reconcile these two groups, we get that, yes, it's flavor, it's sweetness, it's color, and a little bit down comes appearance, firmness, and even a little bit down size. So that's at the end for peach, what we are going to be informing breeders. And for sweet cherries, again, it's flavor, firmness, and then comes size, shelf life at retail. And for the consumer was, if you buy the fruit, how long would you like to wait for the fruit to eat? And then appearance, again, was the last one. And when we reconcile both groups, it follows kind of like what consumers were pointing to, right? So it's flavor, it's firmness, it's size, and comes then shelf life, sweetness, and appearance. So again, that's the information we will be telling the breeders, this market clearing willingness to pay. So the conclusions of this study is we see signals from producers and market intermediaries as well from other studies that we are conducting, that they are putting more and more importance to attributes that consumers will likely appreciate. So for them, it's not too much disease resistance or productivity. They are very keen in flavor, in sweetness. If you're talking about apples, it's about crispness and textural properties. And also, of course, it's about some characteristics that will appear in the U.S. grades and standards, because that's how they get paid for, right? So there is an agreement between producers and what consumers want, and this is a good signal, right? So in order, producers are being really aware that in order for them to have a successful product, they have to provide something that consumers will buy and will repeat by purchases a long time. We have divergent values assigned on quality traits. Consumers have a higher valuation on what is eating quality, flavor, sweetness, some textural properties, and growers, they obviously put value on these consumer qualities, but also they put value on what will be the appearance, the size, and the color, which is how the grades and standards are set for these products. With this, I finish the presentation. I will welcome any questions from the audience.
Thanks, Luis. I think we're out of time, but I don't think the next speaker is here. So I guess we'll open it up to questions, and we also take questions on the first presentation also.
Why should it matter what the growers perceive? Shouldn't it just be what consumers perceive?
Yeah, the question is, what would it matter what growers perceive and not what consumers perceive? The issue here, Bridget, is that breeders are more kind of like in contact with growers. So most of these breeding programs, we are talking about public programs, have their funding from growers. So kind of like they dictate what breeders will be focusing on. So they are in more contact with the breeders, and breeders tend to listen to growers because that's the group that they have more access to. Not so many breeding programs have consumer panels, right? So they are kind of like more, they are a little bit far from what consumers said. So giving breeders, you know, a solid assessment of, you know, this is what the supply chain wants, including growers, so you will have your grower funding groups happy, we feel it will be useful for them.
Kind of like a technical question, but I mean, you don't have to go into too much detail. But given the number of attributes that you have, and in terms of designing the survey, how did you sort of group it to come up with a manageable level to get the orthogonal sort of thing? And the second question that I have, is that what I'm really interested in, is how you actually did construct that demand curve. If you could elaborate a little bit more on that for me.
Sure.
Each consumer would give you just one price for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how you went about constructing?
Yeah, we had about 200 respondents from mm-hmm. the consumer. I don't remember, 700, uh-huh. right? So we calculated the willingness to pay from each individual, and that's what we plotted. So it is the willingness to pay from each individual, and we ordered it from high to low to mimic the demand curve. Mm-hmm. That's how we did that. Mm-hmm. And the same with the growers.
Okay.
And then how do we get the attributes? Yes, it's a long list. When we did these same questionnaires with the breeders, we had like 80-plus attributes for each fruit, right? So how to decrease them? We did pre-surveys with not only breeders but also with growers. And we asked them, you know, what would you be more interested in seeing in your next successful cultivar? And they will, you know, whatever they pointed more frequently, we kind of ranked them, and we just choose, you know, the top five or six from whatever. It was very consistent, the responses, and those are the attributes that we have there. And, of course, we have things like we have sweetness and flavor, but that's what, you know, breeders were interested in.
Yeah, this one right here. I thought it was pretty interesting, the distinction between sweetness and flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Being part of the grower industry as well, I think that is really interesting, because sweetness, it's be like a Red Delicious, it's really sweet, but flavor has more tart and it has so much more in it.
Right.
And then on the next slide,
in the in this one?
Keep going forward. This one right here, the equilibrium that for sweet cherry, the flavor, but for peach, the sweetness was so high up there. I don't know. It's just how those were vicious. But then there's also like different cultures that we have within the. Did you see anything, or did you look at the cultures that we have? You know how.
Yes, and no, we did not use, you know, geographic locations if you're talking about the difference in peaches between California and the Southeast or...
No, just like maybe people of European descent or
Asian... consumers.
Consumers.
No, we are not, we did not include it in our model demographic characteristics, but that will be a nice ad to say. It's... We are observing these different descents in an experiment we did with apples. We did an experimental auctions in, you know, Portland and then Minneapolis, and then the difference in between, you know, the preferences in between these two groups were quite noticeable. Yeah, but we didn't do this here. Yeah, but it will be something that we need to take into consideration. Yes, and for flavor, at least for the growers, and I believe it. No, for the consumers, we didn't. I cannot recall, but we explained that flavor, we understand it as a total, you know, as combination of aroma, taste, and all those elements that will, you know, be included in what flavor, typical peach or typical sweet cherry flavor will be, whereas sweetness it was only this sensation of sugars and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you all are working on... submitting this for a journal article or something like that. It's not available as yet. If somebody wants to read some more, please.
No, we are in the process of submitting, reviewing and submitting it to journals, so it's not publishable yet. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for hearing us again.